Gung-ho greetings. Welcome to the U.S. Phone Force, the talk show that leads the way. My name is Tom Kovach. Perhaps you've read my columns at Renew America or WorldNet Daily. My signature column series is called Short Bursts. If you served in the military, as I did, then perhaps you've worn a little gizmo called the Kovach Clip, which I invented. Or maybe you're one of the 49,000 people that voted for me in the last election for Congress in the Nashville area. Regardless of how you found the program, welcome to the U.S. Phone Force. Prepare for takeoff.
And today is Sunday, 3 February 2008. Welcome to the U.S. Phone Force. There are several ways to contact us here at the U.S. Phone Force. The call-in number is toll-free on the Republic Broadcasting Network, 800-313-9443. Tell all of your friends to tune in to the U.S. Phone Force and to support our sponsors. As we gain more listening members of the U.S. Phone Force, the program will continue to add improvements. You can also visit my website at www.tomkovach.us. That's .us, not .com. Remember, Kovach is spelled K-O-V-A-C-H, just like it sounds. You can email the show at radio@tomkovach.us. Again, that number is, or that email address is radio@tomkovach.us. We have several topics to talk about this week. One in particular stands out. It was rather controversial. It appeared in a column, one of my columns at Renew America yesterday, and that column was also published on military.com, and that column was called McCain, is he eligible to be president? I'd certainly like to hear your thoughts on this, and I'd like you to consider this. Let me read it to you. A lot of naysayers have made light of the strict constitutionalist views of presidential candidates Alan Keyes, Ron Paul, and former candidate Tom Tancredo. Now, those men just might be in a position to have the final say over mainstream candidates such as Senator John McCain. Why? It turns out that Republican candidate Senator McCain might need to drop out of the presidential race despite his recent win in the Florida primary because he is not eligible to fulfill the office of president. John McCain is not a natural-born citizen of the United States. He was born in the Panama Canal Zone. There are only three requirements in the Constitution for the office of president. Article 2, Section 1, Paragraph 5 requires that a candidate for president must be a natural-born citizen of the United States, b, at least 35 years of age, and c, having been a resident of the United States for at least 14 years. By its language, the Constitution, especially the 14th Amendment, makes a distinction between a citizen and a natural-born citizen. A more lenient requirement to be only a citizen under Article 1, Section 3, Paragraph 3, allows McCain to be a senator. We'll continue this discussion after the break, but that's certainly a controversial topic. After the break, you can call in to the U.S. Phone Force at 1-800-313-9443. I'm your host, Tom Kovach, and we'll be back with more of the U.S. Phone Force after this. Thank you.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com, or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
And we're back with more of the U.S. Phone Force here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. My name is Tom Kovach, and we are back with hoping to take more of your calls at 1-800-313-9443. Before the break, we were beginning to discuss a column that I had published yesterday at Renew America and also at military.com, and it asks the question, is John McCain eligible to be President of the United States? And the reason for that question is that John McCain was born outside of the United States. Now, especially on the forum at military.com, I got a bunch of negative comments telling me how stupid I am for raising this question at all, and then claiming that he was not a natural-born citizen of the United States simply because he was born to a military father and an American citizen mother in the Panama Canal Zone. Well, it turns out, for those that claim that I was so stupid, that this is a case that is not settled law. And what I mean by that is that settled law must first be tested. There has never been a test of this particular question under the law. So this is not settled law, contrary to the position taken by people on this forum at military.com. And so for those of you that may have posted to that forum, I would invite you to call and flesh out your opinion with me just a little bit more. But sometimes, especially in the world of law, things that appear to be obvious really are not. Now, I want to tell you that we have some guests that we're hoping to get on the air today, and one of them may be able to give quite a bit more insight into this. One of the biggest topics in the country today is presidential politics, and this throws a whole new wrench into the works, especially given Senator McCain's recent victory in the Florida Republican primary. Some people consider McCain to be a front-runner candidate, and by the numbers, that would be correct. He certainly has a lot of party machinery behind him. And after I had this column published, I attempted to get the McCain reaction and was unable to contact Senator McCain's campaign. When you go to his website and you go to the contact pages, and in fact almost any other page at this point, you get error messages. I was not able to get a local or state representative. Now, something that you might want to keep in mind before you call is that in the case of many states that have primaries, and Tennessee is one of them, there are either state laws or party bylaws that prohibit party officials from getting behind one particular candidate or another. Now, here in Tennessee, that bylaw was pretty much pushed to the side by Republican officials at the state and local level when Fred Thompson was in the race. But Fred Thompson is now not in the race any longer. And so Senator McCain becomes an even more strong force to be considered. Now, on the line with us, we have an interesting guest, and this guest has a lot of experience in the realm of immigration and naturalization law. He is a retired federal immigration agent. He has become outspoken since the 9/11 attacks and has become recognized as an expert at the state and federal levels in court testimony and in legislative hearings. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the U.S. Phone Force, Mike Cutler. Mike, welcome.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you so much for having me. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks, and I'm really looking forward to this discussion. When we set this interview up, I was really fascinated by your background, not only your professional background and your background having become this recognized expert in this area since the 9/11 attacks, but also in your personal background that made you the person who became the INS agent who later became this spokesman on immigration. So if you would, let's start by telling the listeners a little bit about who Mike Cutler is and how you came to be an agent in the first place.
Well, I'm a New Yorker, and I had gone to Brooklyn College in New York, and I lost my parents to cancer along the way while I was in school and did a mid-course correction. I was originally a pre-engineering student, wound up taking a degree in communications, arts, and sciences. One fine day, I was walking across the campus back in, gosh, I guess it was about 1970. And back then, we were having pro- and anti-Vietnam War demonstrations. I walked by one of our buildings on campus, saw a huge line of people, thought, well, there goes another demonstration for one side or the other, and then found out that they were giving the civil service exam for the federal government. I was getting close to graduation, knew I needed to do something once I got out of school, so I stood in line, joined the folks taking the exam. You could walk in and sign up right there and then. Ultimately scored high enough on the exam that many agencies contacted me about employment. I decided to go with the Immigration and Naturalization Service, not knowing too much about it at the time, and was then an immigration inspector. Now it's CBP, Customs and Border Protection. And 4 years later, I became what was then called a criminal investigator. Now that job is known as a special agent. I rotated through all the divisions within the investigations branch of the INS. And in fact, during my first year as an agent, I stumbled upon a plot by the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, to blow up an Israeli oil refinery. And that was my introduction to not only terrorism, but the idea that the enforcement of the immigration laws could have significant ramifications where terrorism and other serious crimes were concerned. I remember this was 1976. And the backdrop for that was that the previous couple of years, we had seen a number of very terrible terrorist attacks, the massacre of the Olympic athletes in Munich, the Israeli athletes, by the terrorists. And then the hijacking of American airliners, taken to the deserts in the Middle East, blown up, people killed, and so forth. I rotated through all the divisions within the investigations branch, went on to being the Unified Intelligence Division representative over at DEA for about 4 years. Then I was promoted to the position of senior special agent with the INS, where for the next 10 years, I worked very closely with other agencies to conduct investigations of major narcotics trafficking organizations, and along the way, a couple of terrorists as well. Working with everybody from the FBI, DEA, ATF, to local police, state police, the Israeli National Police, the Japanese police, the Royal Canadian Mounties, and British Customs. It was an interesting ride. And we always recognized the fact that immigration was spiraling out of control. And we began to see just how politicized it had become when back around 1978 I wound up driving then-Commissioner Leonel Castillo. This was during the Carter administration, and he engaged me in this conversation, which I was uncomfortable with, because here I was, a lowly field agent, driving the commissioner and his appointment secretary,
right.
And he started to ask me about what I thought about amnesty for illegal aliens. This was back in 1978.
Oh, wow.
And he took the position that there was no such thing as a criminal alien. He said, aliens don't come to this country to commit crimes. They come because they're hardworking. In fact, he insisted, the illegal aliens from Mexico were much harder working than the Americans were. And I have to tell you, I took umbrage at that. My dad was a construction worker. He was a plumber. And he had that can-do spirit that typified his generation. In fact, our generation, blue-collar Americans, built this country, are the backbone of America, although you'd never know it to listen to the politicians.
Well, you got that right.
And so here he's making these incredible statements. And then he said, why wouldn't you want to have amnesty for all these folks? And I said, why would you?
Did you at that point put your career in jeopardy?
Well, I was amazed that I walked away with any kind of a career after this conversation we had. I looked back at it and thought maybe I had suffered from hoof and mouth disease. But, I had just reached the point. Initially, I kind of kept saying, I don't think we need to have this conversation. But eventually we did have the conversation. And I said, look, the fact that these laws, as you believe, Mr. Commissioner, aren't enforceable is nonsense. I said, there are laws that are far less enforceable. He said, I can't imagine. I said, what about motor vehicle laws? I said, I bet you that every time you get behind the wheel, you exceed the speed limit. You're a Texan. He said, well, I do. He said, what was the last time you were stopped for speeding? He said, gosh, I can't remember. I said, well, there you go.
There's a law that's not enforced. Very good.
And so I said, if you're willing to abolish all the speed laws, then we'll talk about amnesty for people who violated our borders. And I said, and by the way, there's a stack of files on my desk of aliens involved in murder, rape, drug trafficking, kidnapping. He said to me, I don't want to see those files. And this is where I don't believe
that.
I still... I'm sorry?
He actually came right out and said...
Oh, absolutely. That. And I got so angry, I said to him, I guess you're afraid I might confuse you with the facts and with the truth.
Oh, wow.
And that's why I can't believe I still had a job at Day's End.
At that point, if the first comment didn't get you, I thought for sure the second one would.
So did I. I was just so enraged by this because we were looking for some very serious criminals. And then he said to me, he said, well, that's it for you. You're not driving me anymore. And I, and I said, well, great. I said, that means that tomorrow I'll do something that I'm sure you're not going to be very happy with. I'll be out there arresting those non-criminal aliens. He almost jumped out of my car.
Oh, wow. You know, that's a funny thing about people in certain positions like that, is that they just do not want to hear the truth.
It's the old Jack Nicholson line from A Few Good Men. They can't handle the truth.
There you go. Well, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, our slogan is that you listen because you can handle the truth. And that leads to another interesting truth. You know, most of our listeners, Mike, are pretty strong conservatives. And we're coming up on the break, but I want to plant a seed for the next segment of the program. Tell our listeners where you lean politically.
Oh, I'm a lifelong Democrat.
And You know, it's just amazing. So this is not a left or right issue, but this is an American issue.
Absolutely, positively.
All right, Michael, we'll be back after the break with more of this discussion.
Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
More of the U.S. Phone Force here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you're listening live on the radio and you have friends that can't hear the program, you can certainly call them and tell them to tune in live internet streaming at www.republicbroadcasting.org. And while you're there, be sure and check out the information about the Republic Trading Group. Have a couple of announcements. Tomorrow, Monday, the 4th of February, there will be a Ron Paul meetup group in Parsons, Tennessee. We have a network affiliate in Parsons, Tennessee. For more information, you can call Cheyenne at area code 731-967-2933. And that meeting tomorrow, the 4th, will be at Granny's Kitchen Restaurant. Now, usually I get to know a little bit about our sponsors, but we have a new sponsor that I must tell you I don't know anything about, and that is hempusa.org. Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no single other plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. This nutrient-dense food can be used as a storable food for up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. Your body will react and heal itself if given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. Try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call area code 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org. That number again is area code 908-691-2608. And we are back on the U.S. Phone Force with our guest, a retired federal immigration agent, Mike Cutler. Mike, just before the break, we were saying that this is not, when we talk about the security of our borders, when we talk about enforcing the immigration law, when we talk about keeping our country secure, this is not a partisan issue. It's not left versus right. It's not Republican versus Democrat.
That's right.
But this is, pick up the ball, Mike.
An American issue.
This is an American issue.
And it really is. You know, when I've been before Congress, and I've testified before 15 congressional hearings since 9/11, I did one hearing prior to 9/11, by the way, about immigration benefit fraud and visa fraud. But after 9/11, I was called for a bunch of congressional hearings. And one of the points that I've made, I also, by the way, provided testimony to the 9/11 Commission. And one of the points that I've made when I've been before Congress and when I've been on programs or have done personal appearances is that a country without secure borders can no more stand than can a house without walls. If you can't secure the perimeter of your nation, then you've got a serious problem. And
you know, Mike, I had a column about a year and a half ago when I was running for Congress that had very similar logic in it. In the tagline, it said, no border equals no country.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's interesting because I get so many opportunities to speak at such a wide variety of venues around the country. Sometimes I feel as though I live on airplanes and airports these days.
Oh, dear.
But, I think this is such a critical issue. After witnessing up close and in person the disaster on 9/11, my neighbors were killed. I work as an advisor to the 9/11 families for Secure America. Most of what I do, I don't get paid for. I do a little bit of consulting for a couple of law firms on the right side of the issue always. There's nobody that could pay me enough to go to something that I don't believe in. You know, my dad, may rest in peace, used to say that a real man is somebody who stood for something. You know, while my parents passed away many years ago, I tell people I'm still standing on their shoulders. But on 9/11, to realize that 3,000 people who were healthy, going about their average lives, they weren't astronauts, they weren't test pilots, they weren't combat soldiers, they weren't firefighters or law enforcement officers, they were just average Americans going about what they thought was just an average day in their lives, were obliterated in a mass murder, the worst one ever committed on American soil. I have to tell you, my level of anger has not abated. In some ways, I'm angrier today than I was on the day of 9/11, because I keep continuing to see the failure by this government, our government, to protect the borders and create an immigration system that has integrity. And, you know, we actually have sent Border Patrol agents to secure the Iraqi border. Now, if our military people can understand that Iraq's security depends on a secure border, what in blazes is happening to the United States today?
And that leads us right up to the very reason that I wanted to get you on as a guest anyway. We do need to break for a network ID and some more commercials, and we'll come back after this break. I want to tell our listeners that this background music that you hear, this is Dmitry Smirnov, leader of the band Barinya, and he is playing traditional Russian folk music on the Russian instrument called the balalaika. It's unique, just like this program and just like your host. And we'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Back with more of the U.S. Phone Force. My name is Tom Kovach, your host, and the name of the show comes from my service in the U.S. Air Force, and we have with us on the line a guest, a retired federal immigration agent, now a consultant and expert witness in legislative hearings and also in court testimony, Mr. Mike Cutler. And before the break, Mike, we talked about some of the things that have led up to this position that you have now and
right.
your activism and the consulting work that you do for various organizations, and you write columns at various publications. And what inspired me to contact you was a column that you had come out yesterday on News with Views, and it was, "Why is Bush not protecting our borders?" And, you know, you can ask a lot of questions, and you, with your background and degree in communications, and I consider myself something of a grammarian and a wordsmith, and, you know, I've told people for many years that of the six questions, why is the most difficult to answer. But
yep.
let's analyze this a little bit, and you've said it in several of your written commentaries, and when we've discussed this off air, setting up this interview. But isn't it really just all about money?
Well, it's about those two elixirs in Washington: money and votes and power.
Right.
And you know, it's remarkable because I've testified, as I mentioned to you, at 15 congressional hearings. I've been called by both sides of the aisle. I've been called twice by Sheila Jackson Lee, who's a liberal Democrat. I myself am a Democrat. I've also been called by the Republicans. I've worked very closely with John Hostetler, who had been the chairman of the Immigration Subcommittee. In fact, the way that I've always voted is by people and on issues, not by party lines. So when I found out that John was running for re-election, I volunteered to assist him with his campaign. Unfortunately, he did not get re-elected, but I went to Indiana, his home state, to help with his re-election campaign, because I thought that he was a true leader and a great representative, not just for the people of his own state, but for the people across the country. You know, I testified, by the way, a little bit of an aside, another one of my favorite members of Congress, and I have a few, is Congressman Steve King from Iowa. Now, this guy is another conservative Republican. Right. And when I testified in Iowa back in September of last year about the pending immigration reform bill that was put together by John McCain and Ted Kennedy, what a dynamic duo those two represent.
Oh, yeah.
I testified at that hearing. It was my second hearing before the Immigration Subcommittee. I also have been before the Senate Judiciary Committee on that bill. And we sat and had lunch. Steve was kind enough to buy me lunch, and we sat on the bank of the Mississippi River, and we had a two-and-a-half-hour discussion. It wasn't a photo op. It wasn't about providing an illusion of something going on. It was an honest-to-gosh, let's sit down and talk and compare thoughts and ideas and so forth. And really and truly, you realize that there are some good people in Congress, not enough of them, unfortunately. And I said to him that, boy, it would almost be worth moving to Iowa, Steve King's home state, so that he could represent me and my family. And Steve said to me, but Mike, he says, you don't understand. You don't need to move to Iowa for me to do that. He said, because every time I cast a vote in the House of Representatives, I'm not only doing it for the people in my district. He said, of course, they have to be at the forefront of my concern, but I do it for what's best, in my view, for America and all Americans.
Oh, that is such a refreshing viewpoint. It seems that you would think that every member of the House and every member of the Senate would think that way, but clearly they do not.
No, they don't. And what the game is that so many of them play is to try to do something that physics tells us is impossible, unless we're talking about quantum physics, and that's to be in two places or more at the same time.
You know,
to create an illusion that they're meeting the needs of their constituents, when in reality spending lots of taxpayer money to accomplish very often nothing, or even worse. A good example of that is the so-called virtual fence. You know, I've been on Lou Dobbs so many times, and Lou has been one of the real leaders in journalism and getting the story out there in broadcast media.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's always been a privilege to be on with Lou and, you know, all of his wonderful reporters, Christine Roman and Bill Tucker and all the whole crew there. And what's so remarkable is that for the longest time, nobody else wanted to talk about this issue. And finally, it's starting to gain some traction in mainstream media, but it's still not out there the way it needs to be because, you know, there's an agenda going on. But in any event, one day I was asked by one of Lou's reporters, what do you think of the virtual fence? And my response was, well, the virtual fence will stop virtually nobody.
You have this knack for boiling down big ideas into excellent catchphrases, and that's another one. I mean, when we set up this interview, I was just laughing over the variety of ways that you've done that. And one of the things I was reading through one of your commentaries on the use of language and semantics in the case of immigration, and how the term was spun from illegal alien to undocumented worker, and you gave a great example of an undocumented worker. Would you tell our listeners that little story?
Sure. Back when I was 14 years old, I happened to be Jewish. In fact, I believe that I owe this country my life. My grandmother, for whom I'm named, was killed in the Holocaust. My mother came over here just a couple of short years before the onslaught of the Holocaust in Europe. So, you know, where else would you expect a Jewish kid in Brooklyn to get his first job at age 14 but a kosher delicatessen? And it was a few blocks from home, but in order to get the job, I had to get working papers, because that meant that I was underage, but that the Labor Department of the state of New York approved of my employment because it didn't conflict with my going to school, which is the responsibility under the state law. So you had to take out working papers. I guess you could say, had I not taken out the working papers but still took that job, then I truly would have been an undocumented worker. So the term undocumented worker is another manifestation, another gift, if you will, from Jimmy Carter. It was his commissioner, the guy that I drove around, and I'm amazed didn't fire me on the spot, Leonel Castillo, who mandated that immigration employees back in the late 70s never refer to an illegal alien as an illegal alien, not even use the word alien, but call them undocumented workers. And I can tell you, we got so angry with that that I started to refer to illegal aliens as, what did I call them, pre-citizens was the term I came up with. because I was trying to show my disdain for this 1984 Orwellian newspeak, while not violating the order, because the order was we could no longer call them illegal aliens, but there was nothing that said we couldn't call them pre-citizens. And one day I got a phone call from a Border Patrol agent, I believe he was in Arizona, looking for an immigration file of an alien, and instead of asking for a file relating to an alien, he asked if I could find a file in our office that was, you know, according to the database in New York, relating to a pre-citizen. So I thought, well, either somebody is as sarcastic as I am, or my wit, if you want to call it that, it traveled clear across the country. But the language is very important. And, you know, I often tell people that what the Open Borders crowd are doing, and there's lots of them, and they're very well funded, by the way, because so many people are making out like bandits at the expense of illegal aliens who are vulnerable and easy to exploit. And I mean, you could just go on forever. Their own countries make out like bandits. You know, we're talking about an economic stimulus package. Well, last year, over $45 billion, that's with a B, billion, was wired from the United States to Latin America and the Caribbean by illegal aliens working in our country. And that's the visible money. That doesn't include money that was simply put into a suitcase and dragged across the border, or converted to gold or another precious metal and smuggled across the borders and so forth. So we're talking, arguably, and if you look at the whole world, it may be a couple of $100 billion that vanishes from our economy each and every year. And this is money that should be getting paid to American workers, but is not.
Right, and you documented in some of your commentaries, your columns, how one of the key players in trickling this money, and it's no longer a trickle, it's now a flood.
You bet it is.
Of money coming out of the United States, just under the radar, in structured transactions, is Western Union.
Yep, well, absolutely. Well, they're the remitters, they're the biggest one. And what was interesting was Charlie Fote, who had been the president of First Data Corporation, which at the time was the parent company to Western Union, moved his company, pardon me, I got a frog in my throat, he moved his company from its former headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, to Denver, Colorado. And this was at the time when Congressman Tom Tancredo, another gentleman with whom I've had many meetings, he's a tremendous guy.
Oh, yes, he is.
And Tom was proposing legislation that would tax this money. Well, immediately, the president of First Data, the guy that was in charge, in effect, of Western Union, moved his company from Atlanta to Colorado, Tom's home state, created a political action committee, and threw in millions of dollars to try to unseat Tom Tancredo. You know,
I'm not surprised.
And, you know, it's like the thing in that movie, All the President's Men, where Deep Throat, and it's now been proven to not been the case, but at least in the movie, he said, follow the money. Well, that's great advice for any criminal investigation. They make so much money by wiring money out of the country. The banks make so much money by moving money out of the country. They become the silent partner, not just to the dishwasher, but to the drug trafficker, the members of organized crime, and so forth. They are their silent partner.
Yes, indeed. So, and some of those banks have developed policies in support of the illegal aliens. There was a movement about a year and a half ago to boycott Bank of America. And it was really inconvenient for me because Bank of America pioneered so many of the techniques used in the banking industry. And particularly in the case of online banking, Their online banking system works better than any other one I've seen. So it was very inconvenient for me, but I pulled my money out.
Well, I got to tell you two things about that. The timing is good here. There was a program that they had, and I contacted my friend Jerry Sieper of the Washington Times, and he wrote a piece about it, SafeSend. SafeSend was devised by the Bank of America, as they put it on their ad. It was on TV, and they immediately pulled it after the commentary, and then they buried it off their webpage after a while. But they said you can move money conveniently from the United States to Mexico with a minimum of human contact.
Oh, yes.
Think of what that is. And then there's a gentleman by the name of Eduardo Aguirre. I don't know if you're familiar with that name.
Is he the, if I remember correctly, isn't he the Mexican chief operating officer of Western Union?
No, he's not, but it's interesting you would say that. Eduardo Aguirre was the first director of USCIS, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services.
Okay.
And guess where he worked before he went to work for the government?
Bank of America?
He was the director of the private bank of the Bank of America.
Oh, wow.
Now, what happened, and the reason I became aware of him, was in 2005, I was called before the House Subcommittee on Immigration and Border Security to provide testimony about resources that were being dedicated to the enforcement and administration of the immigration laws. The Congress had given the president back then enough money to hire 800 more special agents for ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and I thought it was a terribly low number. But in any event, the president took that low number and slashed it to just 143 new agents for the whole country.
Oh,
now,
boy.
To put things in perspective, the president keeps saying, we've tried enforcement only, it doesn't work. That's nonsense. Go back to what I said before. He has created an illusion of enforcement because there were fewer than 5,000 agents, as far as I know now, and they will no longer release the numbers claiming it's national security, which is nutty, that now enforce the immigration laws for the whole country.
You know,
New York
Mark,
City.
This reminds me, that situation that you just described reminds me of the Roaring Twenties when the gangsters had Thompson submachine guns, and the FBI had 38 revolvers.
Or nothing at all at first until they got enough of their people killed. Initially, they weren't even armed.
Right.
So, I mean, it's crazy stuff. So we're being told, well, we've tried enforcement. That's nonsense. New York City, the safest big city in America, has over 38,000 police officers, and here we probably have about 10 times as many ICE, 10% the number of ICE agents as there are cops in New York City. And most of the bosses, by the way, at ICE didn't come from legacy immigration, but came from legacy customs. And customs and immigration, other than being border agencies, had very little in common. Customs was more closely akin to what they do at the IRS and commerce. They're concerned with taxation and the movement of goods and currency, while immigration was more closely aligned with Labor Department and the FBI. In fact, back in the 40s, when America really looked out for its citizens, Labor Department ran immigration out of a concern that foreign workers would displace American workers and hurt the American workforce.
I was reading some background on that, and file that away because there's a question that I want to ask you, and
okay.
You're such an interesting guest that the hour is slipping away from us rapidly,
okay.
And there's a question I want to ask you, and you may have to scratch your head a little bit with your professional background on this, but you bring up so many good points here. Let's just get to the question because the hour is slipping away from us.
Okay, let's do that. This time left will go beyond.
Okay, well, you know, if you would do that, it's funny you mentioned that because when you were describing your background earlier at the beginning of the hour, I had a call come in on my cell phone, and I had to mute my microphone and take the call, and it was the publicist for the guest that I had lined up for the second hour, and he has backed out because of a schedule conflict that came up. Now, you know who the guest is, but the listeners don't, so I'm not going to mention his name at this point.
Because fair enough.
Since he backed out on me, I don't want to mention his name.
Okay.
But he would have been a really interesting guest.
Well, I believe you're right.
Interesting guest, and if you can stay over, boy, that would be great.
Well, I'll stay with you for about another half hour. How's that?
Oh, that would be fantastic, Mike. Now, let me ask you this question, and this relates to a column that I had published yesterday. My main column is Renew America, and it was also published at military.com. And in this column, I posed the question that we have right now a candidate for the presidency of the United States who was born outside the United States. Now, he's what they call a military brat. His father was in the Navy and was stationed in the Panama Canal Zone, which I believe was a United States possession,
right,
not a United States territory, as a lot of people claim it to have been. And my understanding is that the rules for a possession are different from the rules for a territory. And therefore, John McCain, having been born outside the United States, may have had to do some sort of paperwork to solidify his U.S. citizenship. If I remember correctly, the procedure, that's done it at or after the age of 14. And the bottom line being, the Constitution requires that the president be a natural-born citizen. And my understanding is that, having been born in the Canal Zone, John McCain is not a natural-born citizen. Now, I hear the break music coming up. We have,
I hear it, yep.
We have an automatic break. This is going to be some network advertising, so it's a hard break. We can't go past it. So just mull that over, and when we come back from the break, let's discuss whether John McCain is actually qualified to be president of the United States.
Okay, fair enough.
We'll be back with more of the U.S. Phone Force after this.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Okay.
Hello, yes. Sorry. Had the mute button on during the commercial. Sorry about that. Anyway, the question remains, is John McCain a natural-born citizen because the Constitution requires that he be a natural-born citizen in order to become president?
I was just going to say, you know, it's a very interesting point, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but by coincidence, it's something that I probably will raise with a friend of mine, a gentleman by the name of Chris Kovac, almost the same as your name, but slightly different.
Well, that's Chris, the anglicized version, yes.
Yeah, that's right. And Chris is a constitutional law professor. He is the chairman of the Republican Party in Kansas. In fact, when I first took my show on the road, so to speak, a number of years ago, he was my debating team partner at Kansas State University. And he has, I understand, agreed to sign on as the immigration advisor to Mitt Romney.
Wow.
And he was counsel to John Ashcroft, helped to write the NSEERS program to register men from the Middle East right after 9/11. And he's actually also the attorney who handled the defense of the mayor of Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Lou Barletta, another good guy. I testified, in fact, at that trial. I was the concluding witness at the trial at Hazleton when Hazleton implemented ordinances, or was attempting to implement ordinances, to penalize people who provide housing and jobs to illegal aliens.
I remember that.
Well, Chris and I have become friends. We've worked together on a number of issues, and I'm absolutely ecstatic, by the way, that he's agreed to assist Mitt Romney. So I think what I'll have to do is put a call into Chris either today or tomorrow and ask that question of him. But I have a very strong policy about two things. I don't offer opinions when I don't have the facts or the expertise. Opinions are like backsides. Everyone's got one. But in order to be worth taking up airtime, you need to have expertise in order to offer it. And I think it's very important to maintain the integrity of only responding to those things that you know something about. This is something that goes beyond my knowledge, and I'm not ashamed or afraid to tell you that.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, Mike, and the reason I say it is because I got a lot of flack on the forum at military.com, where this column was also published, that I was stupid for even bringing up the question, blah, blah, blah. But as it turns out, this question has been posed twice before in presidential races, but never with this set of facts. So this is not, this point of law has never even been tested in court, much less settled. And so there are people who are claiming that, oh, I should have known not to even ask the question, blah, blah, blah. No, this point is not settled at all.
No, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask.
Exactly. Well, we only have a couple minutes left in this hour, but we have a caller that's been patiently waiting, and he's a really good caller from Tennessee. And I should point out to you, Mike, that this network is simulcast on satellite. So we get callers from interesting locations, and calling us while driving is... We're going to have to wait until into the second hour. I hear the break music coming up. But when we come back from the break, John is calling us from the cab of his tractor trailer as he goes down the highway in Tennessee.
Be glad to talk to him.
We'll be back in the next hour with more of Mike Cutler and more of John.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to...